Michelle Kwee is 4 feet 4 inches, but she's an absolute giant. Absolute giant, full of positivity. When she was 11 years old, she was struck by a car. She has been on crutches her whole life, but she has turned that around. She's a visibility and confidence coach now. She's been to Machu Picchu 4 days, 26 miles to get there, camping out. There's a great documentary on her. She is just incredibly positive. Her YouTube is full of meditation and affirmations and interviews with others. Her book, her podcast is called Perfectly Normal. And she is incredibly positive. Just such a delight to talk to. Full of energy, and just has been able to turn everything around and just help others. Absolutely inspiring. Love this conversation. I hope to do more with Michelle in the future. I know you're going to enjoy this. Thanks for listening. Hi, I'm Joey Pins. People ask me, how did I lose 130 pounds? The quick answer is always discipline. I started my business, wasn't paying attention to my health, was eating too much, drinking too much sweets. My daughter was born. Next thing I know, I'm pre-diabetic, I have hypertension. I knew something had to change. Discipline. I, like many of you, have faced many challenges in your career, in your family, in your life, in your faith. How did you attack them? How did you approach them? How did you solve them, hopefully? It all had to have some degree of discipline. I'm also asked, how did you found and start a tech business that lasted over 25 years? Discipline. I was committed to it, enjoyed technology, didn't enjoy some aspects of it, but knew it was necessary. Discipline. Our podcast mission, how do we use discipline to better ourselves and society? Join me, please, as I talk to interesting people and discuss how they use discipline in their family, in their passion, in their careers, and how it helped them. Our podcast vision, growth through learning from others. Joey Pins Discipline Conversations. It'll be light and serious. Join us, please. Thank you for consideration. Kwee, what an absolute pleasure. You are so positive. You have so much energy, so much positive energy. Your story is absolutely amazing and uplifting. How important is meditation to you?
Meditation is absolutely essential. I believe it's really the step number one in building on the awareness.
Awareness for what?
It's an awareness to where we are, where we want to be. And for some people, it may mean that they recognize where they don't want to be.
Now, I've gone through a couple of your sessions. You have such great content. And I've done assisted meditation with you. And it was excellent. Put me right where I needed to be and separated everything out. I was meditating for a while and I don't, but overall, the theme when I talk to positive people like yourself is meditation. You certainly encourage it for everyone.
I do. And I believe there's so many ways of how we meditate. A lot of people believe that, oh, meditation, does that mean I have to get a mat? I have to set myself up in a quiet room and I have to sit down. I have to clear my mind, but I can't clear my mind because my mind is so busy. So there's a lot of misconception when it comes to meditation. And to me, meditation comes in so many different ways. And there's so many different ways that we can practice it. And people just don't realize it. So I'm huge on just doing the meditation where you are right now. Like, we can do meditation right now as we're talking, as we're speaking. It's about just being in that present moment.
And it's something anyone could do, and it doesn't cost anything. And it's so beneficial.
Exactly. But I think one of the biggest struggles that I notice people are having is meditation means that I have to clear out my mind, right? And the moment that you have that question in your head, chances are there is absolutely no way that you're cleaning out that mind, because your mind is going to be clustered with the idea of, how do I quiet down my mind? How do I stop this internal chat? how do I do this? How do I do that? Oh, what's that sound? So your mind actually do the opposite way of what you want them to do.
Somebody once told me that if you have that problem, to visualize your thoughts as if you're watching traffic go back and forth, kind of separate it from yourself, and you're actually observing it. That way you can kind of distance yourself from it and eventually move it away.
Mm-hmm. I think the key word that you have said here is be the observer. Mm. And so meditation is really about observing your mind, not about quieting your mind. It's about having that bird's eye view of what's going on here. And just be curious. You may have a lot of feeling coming out from yourself and coming out from your chest, coming out from your heart. That's okay. Allow it and accept them for just the way they are without judging them. And so you talked about watching the traffic. That's one way. So for some people, they may be, I love people watching. So a lot of time, you know, I would be sitting at the busy side of the street, and I would just watch a car driving by. I would just watch the people walking by. And that to me is very relaxing. I can just focus on the movement of other people, and that quiets me, taking my mind off to what I'm thinking. For some other people, they may be more auditorial, meaning, you know, they pick up the sound. So one of the things that I love, especially in the morning when I meditate, is I like to listen to the sound that is surrounding me. I live in a somewhat not a very busy city. So in the morning, I can still enjoy the birds, you know, the wind that's blowing. Sometimes there's a squirrel running around and I can hear them. So I enjoy receiving those sounds. So when I hear those sounds, it actually helps me to focus on rather than, oh, what's going on in my mind? I focus on the sound. So there's a type of meditation that's called receptive meditation, where you receive the information coming out from you so that you're actually clearing out your mind by hearing them.
You were saying that you live in part of Southern California, and you're watching kind of observers go by.
Right. And so the other thing I love to do is just listening to the sound. So what I love about meditating in the morning is there's all kinds of sound that's going around me. There's bird, you know, in the tree, and there's squirrel running around. I can hear all that. So as you're practicing meditation, you can also listen to the sound that's coming in from everywhere. And that would actually be another type of meditation. It's called receptive meditation, where you welcome in all these surround sounds, smell, touch, everything that you're receiving through your senses, that can actually help to quiet our mind.
Very interesting. Now, one of your principles you kind of live by are three D words, and one of those D words are one of my favorites.
Yep. So my three D rules are determination, dedication, and discipline. The determination, I think I was explaining like a map. So if life is a map and you're going somewhere, your determination is the pin that you drop at your destination. So you may be somewhere, you know, I love the game, Where is Waldo? I don't know if you have played that in that game, and you're trying to figure out where's Waldo, right? And I kind of see our life as that way. You know, when you're lost, when you don't have determination, you're not quite sure where to go or what direction to go. You're kind of just like Waldo being hidden somewhere along that map, and you're trying to find that person and finding our own self-identity. But having the determination is like having a pin drop to the place where you want to be. Whether you want to be a successful person, you want to, you know, maybe get married and have kids, however that you measure your life, you're going to put a pin right there. That's where you're going. That is determination. And that's step number one in leading to a successful life, however define your success is. But that is step number one, to have a determination. My determination, perfect example would be, I want to conquer Machu Picchu. There's a pin drop. There I'm going, right? So that's my determination. And then the second point is dedication. Dedication is about getting up every morning to do exact the same thing every single day, and you're going to do it regardless whether or not you like it or not. So there's no question about, Michelle, I don't feel like going up to the podcast today. Can I not do it? No, you're going to show up, and you're going to show up just the way you are, whether you're tired, you're motivated, you're happy, you're sad. You're going to show up dedicated, because this is something that's going to drive you to your determination, to your destination. So that's number two, dedication. Number three is discipline. Discipline, a lot of people feel that this is the energy and the drive that pushes me to continue moving forward. Yes, but they're missing a very key important element, which is knowledge and your skills. You can only go so far when you have the knowledge, and you can only travel so fast when you have the skill, right? So discipline is about using your knowledge, carrying your skills, and stay on track, stay on focus. That is discipline. Discipline is not about pushing you hard enough so that you break down one day. No, discipline is about using the knowledge, and sometimes you need to give yourself a little nudge or show yourself a little grace, but still you're focusing and you're staying on track, going and moving towards that destination.
Well said. My goodness. You mentioned Machu Picchu. I saw the video. It touched my heart. Can you speak on that? And before you do, you have to mention, unfortunately, the tragedy that's happened when you were 10 years old that, you know, really was the kind of impetus of all this, and how you help so many today with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to give paint the picture for our listeners, I am physically disabled. I am 4 feet, 4 inches tall. I used to walk with two crutches. Now I'm using one because of what I have accomplished. But this is a result of a car accident when I was 11 years old. I was coming out from school one day, and then there was a car coming out of nowhere that hit me. And next thing I know, I woke up in the hospital. And I spent 4 years after that just going through the recovery, going through the rehabilitation, physical therapy. And it was only to the point where I'm able to walk with two crutches without any assistance. And I remember leaving the hospital, the doctor had given me like a pair of really ugly metal brace to wear. And basically he told me to wear it up to until I stop growing, because otherwise my body is just going to cause the deformity on my leg. Of course, you know, as a teenager, I never listened to what would be good for you, right? Because we all being teenager, and none of us listened to our parents when we were 15. And I did not listen to the doctor nor to my parents, so I took it off. And of course, that causes a permanent damage, a permanent deformity on my both legs. So I no longer can walk without any crutches. So I've been always carrying these two crutches for the longest time in my life. But living with disability, it comes with a lot of challenge. Being 4 feet, 4 inches tall means that when I go to the grocery shop, last year we had a toilet paper crisis. Yes. So just as simple as going to the grocery shop and getting toilet paper, that usually is located on the top of the shelf, that is a very challenging thing for me. And people don't realize it. People think that, you know, oh, you know, human being, everybody, it would be easy for everyone, right? No, each one of us have our own challenge in so many different ways. So that was one of my biggest challenges physically. And I spent a lot of time doing this body shaming and just beating myself up, wishing myself that, you know, I could somehow change everything and chop off my leg and install a new pair, and I would be completely different, have a completely different outcome. But life doesn't work that way. So I was basically stuck in this body for a good 29 years old, ever since the accident. So by the time I reach 40, I'm 46, by the way, this year. I know I don't look 46, but but when I was 40, finally I woke up one day, and I was asking myself, so Michelle, you're 40. what do you want to do for the next 40 years? And it kind of got me to start thinking about, all right, so do I want to continue to do this job? And the answer is no. I was already working as a pharmacist. I had my doctor's pharmacy degree. And do I want to spend the rest of my life in pharmacy? No. Do I want to wake up in the middle of the night and crying myself to sleep? No. Do I want to feel being ashamed by when people turn around and when they start drawing all the attention on me? No. What can I do? And that was a moment where I had like a breakthrough moment, of aha moment, and thinking that if I don't start living for myself, nobody will. And if I don't start accepting myself, nobody will. And it was that same year, I remember it was September 2016, I decided to book myself a ticket, fly myself over to Machu Picchu, and I signed up to hike through the 26 miles of Inca Trail. It took me 4 days, spending 4 days, 4 nights on site, camping out, and walked through the entire Inca Trail to Machu Picchu.
Incredible. And I saw the video, and it's so inspiring. And some of the comments, you walked faster than the donkeys, they were saying, than the donkeys. And you, when you got to the top, you wanted to have more than one lunch was your first thought. It was wonderful.
Yeah, despite all the, people were coming to me and say, well, you must have like incredible ideas as you're climbing up there. How did you feel? I just tell them, listen, dude, I felt really hungry. and this is so true for so many of us. We don't think about, I don't want to be a millionaire. I don't want to have $1 billion in my bank account. It would be nice, but sure. Most of us just want to be happy. We just want to go through our life and feeling motivated, feeling inspired, feeling positive. We don't want that extra mile of being successful. And success to us is just getting up in the morning, feeling happy about where we are and being happy about who we are. That's all we want in our life.
Yes, how profound. How absolutely profound. What does normal mean to you?
Normal means that it is very limiting idea, but it also defines who we are very uniquely. And I say that because for a very long time, I didn't think myself as normal human being. I'm 44 inches tall. Like you turn around, there's no grown-up woman who's my height, or very few, right? At least the people that was surrounding me, I was the only person. So I felt like an outcast. And normal to me means that there's certain standards that I'm meeting, I'm fulfilling, I'm meeting the expectation. But normal can also be something that I strive for by bringing out my uniqueness. It is perfectly normal for me to joke around on a podcast, to bring out the personality. So normal, what's normal to me, my standard, is being unique. I'm the unicorn. I'm the butterfly. I'm like here to win everybody. That's my norm. This is normal.
The unicorn.
I'm the unicorn.
You certainly are. You have such great content. You have a podcast where you talk about different topics, kind of affirmations sometimes, and you interview other people. And of course, the book, Perfectly Normal, An Immigrant Story of Making It in America. Dare you use the word normal?
Yeah. Again, normal can be very limiting, depending on how we perceive it, how we interpret it. We can interpret normal as, you know what, this is my normal self and I'm proud of it. It speaks to that authenticity that we all have. So it's a difference between someone who is fully accepting who they are and they are taking ownership and taking control of their life versus someone who continue to allow other people's expectations and judgment and all these social standards to shape who they are and to make them believe that this is all they can be. So normal has two different perceptions, two completely different attitudes towards it. We can use the same term, but how you see normal is completely different than mine. And it all has to do with the lenses that we wear in our life. And as an energy leadership practitioner, I am trained as a coach to talk about the lenses that we wear. So every individual wears different lenses. You know, we might have a red color lens, or someone else may have a blue color lens. So the red who wear red is going to see the world as red. The one who wear blue is going to see the world as blue. So what's normal to the blue is definitely different from the people who's wearing red. So, but it's that idea of, are you looking through the whole entire universe and within yourself as well as outside by wearing this lens that you are wearing? Now, what if you were just to take it off and just clear it? There is no color anymore. It's all unified. The universe is just the way perfectly it is. No interpretation, no assuming, nothing abnormal, nothing normal, no black and white, no right or wrong. And we're taking things just as it is. And that's like the full acceptance about the whole entire universe, and also on a microcosmo level about ourselves. And when people do that, oh my gosh, you're like talking about unlimited possibility of how life can be. Imagine a world without judgment.
Yes, let's imagine that. That would be wonderful, without judgment, and perhaps a little more love. I guess that would lend itself to that. Non-judgment would lend itself to love. Would you think?
I'm an optimistic. So I truly believe that one day we can have a world without judgment. And I think we're, as human, we're all moving towards that. You know, we started to see more understanding, more empathy. We started to overcome that conflict among each other. Yes, there's a lot of struggle. Yes, there's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of challenge and hurdle that we had to cross. But again, you know, if you were to look at everything as a challenge, of course they're a challenge. But if you were to look at everything as a possibility of the lesson learned, take, for example, COVID. What have we learned about COVID? We learned that human connection is so valuable and so important. Look at how many people are starting their podcast. Look at how many people are stepping out of their comfort zone and start voicing what they truly believe. Like, all of these came from one change. And I'm really optimistic about that.
Yeah, that is very true. You know, we kind of see, even after the Vietnam War in the early 70s, we just saw this kind of rush of new music and just this kind of, you know, turnaround. I mean, New York City itself had, you know, had hip hop and had punk and had disco. I mean, we just saw this emergence after we were just so upset about these tragedies that happened, you know. And it is a very good point. You do see this kind of rush happening now, especially with podcasts, especially with, you know, with a lot of the arts. That's a very fascinating point. Very fascinating point. How do you cope with negative talk, and how should others?
Well, negative talk, it's with any type of judgment, I believe it's a reflection of who we are and also a reflection of how another person is. So when someone say a really judgmental thing about me, like say, for example, they tell me, Michelle, you're really short. I don't know if you can handle this job. That's okay, because you're not. This is something completely new to you. I've been using this body for the last 40 years. This is the first time you're seeing me, right? So of course, you're going to use what is familiar to you, what is common for you, what is normal for you, to determine whether or not I can accomplish this job. That's okay. That's about you, right? It's not about me. So I can take it very personal, or I can open up my heart and say, you know what? There is nothing personal about what you have just said. What you have said is just a reflection of your own life experience, of all your assumption that you're just making, and all the interpretation that you're using from your past experience. So of course, if you haven't had any experience in dealing with short people, you're going to think that being short is a problem. But to me, being short is actually kind of nice. You know, the best thing comes in a small package, and that's true. So it's nothing about any judgments. It's not about me. It's about what they are going through. And a lot of time I actually empathize with them, because whatever the life experience have brought them here, they're struggling. And I am here to support them, to help them, to get them to see and understand that being short is nothing to be ashamed of. Being short, and I can show you so many tricks of how to overcome that shortness, and I can do so many tricks that you probably never thought about that can make your life a lot easier by just doing this and that. So we're here to teach and learn from each other.
Yeah, we certainly are. You've got great content, you know, and one particular point that really stuck to me, a phrase that you said, when you said you cannot receive what you can't give.
Yeah. It's really true, because if we as human beings, if I were to completely not loving myself, then I won't be able to recognize that that is love. And so I won't be able to receive it, because I'm not able to give it. So in order to understand something, you have to experience it first. And number two, it needs to come out from an inside out approach. So the fact that I think a couple of times you say, oh my gosh, you're so positive, Michelle, you're positive energy. The fact that you recognize that this is a positive energy, it means that somewhere along your life experience, you yourself have experienced that positive energy. You recognize what it feels like and what it can do for you in order to recognize it from someone else. So there's no way that you can receive, meaning receive other people's love, unless you already have some to give.
Very interesting. That is very true. Okay, you know, I said that. I've you know, we had a brief conversation before this. I've watched a lot of your content, and the first thing that comes to mind is your positive energy and just your viewpoint and how inspiring it is. And I guess that's true. I have been inspired by others. That's a fascinating point. Mm-hmm. Very fascinating. What's your biggest fear?
My biggest fear right now is, am I making an impact in someone else's life? Am I of a service to someone else? And this is really important to me, because I believe we are all here to serve a purpose, every single one of us. And we come just like our hand. There's reason why we have both hands, we have both legs, we have, you know, ears to listen, eyes to see. Everything that happened on a human level, in a human body, there's a reason. So the fact that we exist for a reason. So if for any reason that I am not exercising that purpose, I'm afraid that I'm not serving my best. I'm not living up to what I truly came to this planet for. That's what I'm afraid of.
Fascinating. And so, excuse me, how do you combat that? How do you quell that? How do you know that you're achieving that?
Be intentional. So every morning in my meditation, what I do is I set an intention. And this is the first thing that I do before I even do like reaching over for my phone or doing anything at all. The first thing I do is be intentional. And I will ask myself some like empowering questions, things like, Michelle, so what do you hope to bring today? Like, what do you hope to share today? Is it love? Is it inspiration? Is it courage? What are you here to do first thing in the morning? And that intention will drive me towards taking action that would generate love, that would lead to inspiration, that would create a ripple effect to the people around me or come in contact or having a conversation with me. And with that intention, I feel that every single step or every single action that I'm taking throughout the day is going to come back to that intention. Is it love? Is this inspirational? Is this influential? Is this impactful? So I ask a lot about what is my intention.
A lot of self-reflection there. Very interesting. Tell me how your coaching works. Now, you created a corporation. And how do people get involved with your coaching and how does it work?
So I work currently with women coaches and sometimes entrepreneurs. They will come to me and they are at a place where they're starting out their business. So they want to get out there and get their business to be out there and offer their service and be of service for other people. So my job as a coach is to help them to create that visibility by really identifying who they are behind their business, what they stand for, what are their values. And from there, we go on to designing your website, coming up with an idea for your logo, which then you will carry out to the world and creating all these amazing content that demonstrate and tell the world about who you are, what are your values, and what are here to offer. So my job is to help them to get out there and get seen and get heard and get hired. And how people come to me is I create community and I welcome everybody. You probably can tell by now, I cannot stop talking. I love to talk. So a lot of time I do it through conversation. So I would just talk to anybody and just really get to know them and see what they're going through and see how I can help.
Interesting. And is this mostly in the business world or is it non-business as well that you're working with?
Also in the non-business world as well. So if someone who's experiencing a lot of negative self-talk, generally what they'll do is they'll come to me and ask me to coach them around the lack of confidence or self-esteem that causes impact into their everyday life, like their relationship. And whether it's business or life, you know, ultimately it's all the relationship that we have with each other as well as the relationship within ourselves. So if someone is struggling with that negative self-talk, I also coach them through the inner critics coaching.
Hmm. And the difference between coaching and therapy is what?
So the difference between coaching and therapy is the fact that coaches don't focus on the past. We're not trying to fix you. We're not here to fix you. We're here to help you to set up the goal and moving forward. So coach are more forward action oriented, whereas therapy is more about focusing, how did we get here? What had happened in the past? And what happened there? How did everything lead to where you are now? So therapy, if the simplest term, I would say, is focusing on the past, understanding our past and what happened to our past causes what is as a result of what happening now. But, you know, sometimes therapy actually now incorporates some coaching as well. They take that once the client is clear on where they are now and why it happened, then they start talking about moving forward. But coaches primarily focus about forward movement, not the past.
Very interesting. So your title is Confidence and Leadership Coach. Is that correct?
I actually recently did a whole rebranding because I noticed my clients are coming in asking me to show them how to create content, how to be visible. So the title is actually Visibility Confidence Coach.
Visibility Confidence Coach. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And why do people want to be visible?
Well, being visible, it brings you a lot of benefit. It being visible, let's say, take for example, within the family. As a woman, I know I've heard this so many times from my mom, and she goes, I don't feel your dad is listening to me. I don't feel that I'm being seen by him. I don't feel that I'm being noticed in this family. Like, nothing I do matters in this family. And there's that feeling of we're not being seen, we're not being understood, we're not being appreciated. And if we were to carry into a workplace, this is also true. I can't tell you how many times I speak to my own manager. I feel, hey, I'm doing a lot of work. I like to get recognized. I like to get appreciation. But a lot of time we don't feel that way because we're not being acknowledged. We're not being validated. So we feel invisible and blending in into a society where we're struggling. We're just being motivated to get up, put on our suits and go out and start clocking into work. So there's so many benefits of being seen, because once you start being seen, you start being who you are, you step into the true power of, you know what? Who is the manager who keep blaming us for the things that we didn't do? In that moment of time, I'm going to raise my voice and I'm going to step in and say, hey, we need to sit down and talk. This is what I'm feeling and this is how we're going to resolve. Right? So you actually create a lot of momentum in resolving the conflict and building better relationship if you can just simply walk away from the wall instead of being a wallpaper, walk away from the wall and start owning your truth, start owning who you are. And it's going to be so much powerful, authentic, and real. And people are going to start seeing you and the opportunity that's also going to start singing you.
Very interesting. And I just never heard that term, to be visible, but that actually lends itself to confidence as well.
Yes. And you cannot divide the two, separate them apart, because in order to have visibility, you have to have confidence. You have to feel confident enough to put yourself out there, be the voice of yourself, and start voicing what you believe in. And I think so many of us, you know, we're so, and this is something that I was just reading somewhere in the 70s or early 60s, there's a lot of movie that came out. And I think Audrey Hepburn actually had a movie. And in one of the lines that was teaching young women to keep yourself quiet, to, you know, don't say anything. And so throughout the year, throughout generations and generation, we were taught to stay quiet, be obedient. And there's so many social conditioning that's pressing upon us to keep us to be humble. And sometimes being humble can actually be a disadvantage for you if you're trying to be somebody. So very visibility and confidence comes hand to hand.
And I'll just say Americans, do Americans lack these?
I don't believe it's a lacking. It's that people don't realize it. People don't realize that they actually have it. Like our system, our education system is just teaching people how to survive and not teaching people how to thrive. We don't encourage innovation. We don't encourage ideas. Nowadays, with the newer generation, you know, there's so many different channels and so many different ways that they can exercise their creativity. They can share their innovative idea. But like the way that you and I grew up, we were pretty much suppressed. You go to school, study hard, finish your degree. And because if you don't finish your degree, you're not going to get a job. And if you don't get a job, you're not very successful. So we have that impression of being successful means that you have to follow through step by step and achieving this. And that's causing us to live our life in kind of like a shoebox, right? So everybody got a pair of shoebox and then just live within that shoebox and you'll do just fine. You'll be successful. But that's not the case. I mean, we as human beings, we have absolutely full potential, extraordinary amount of potential that we can use. This is how we decided we're going to travel to the moon. This is how we decided we're going to create these computers that we can connect with each other. Somebody did not listen to someone else's idea of living in that shoebox. And this is why people are innovated. This is why people are created. And I'm very optimistic about our new generation because I think there's so many creativity and innovation that's coming from them.
Yeah, me too. Do you ever have to coach someone to be less visible and less confident?
No, never. Never. I think I know what you mean in terms of less confident, less visible.
Arrogance.
Yes, there's a difference between arrogance versus confidence, right?
Certainly.
And arrogant coming from the ego perspective, whereas confidence, it's a natural attribute that you already have. But when we go through, and I think we started this this episode about talking about meditation, when we're talking about arrogance, that's usually an ego mind that's speaking. Mm. Right? Ego mind meaning we care about our absolute needs of survival. Do I have a shelter? Do I have safety? Do I have a place to live? Those are important elements for an ego mind. For someone who has a higher conscious mind, they're looking for ways to understand the universe. How does the universe work? Why is certain things this way and why is certain thing that way? So there's more curiosity in the conscious mind versus the unconscious mind, which is the ego mind. And when we're operating on the ego mind, chances are we're doing everything to protect from a scarcity perspective. And when you have a more conscious mind, you're operating things out of love, out of service. You're operating things out of co-creation, and you're operating out of that unconditional love. So it's two different feelings. And there's not one person, I would say, that have no access to that higher thinking mind. So everyone, even the most arrogant mind, there's always a possibility. There's always ways that we can get them to the higher thinking mind. But they have to be open to it.
Right. That's important to know. They have to be open to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have a pod, perfectly normal. You have a book, podcast. So just based on that theme, which is excellent. What else should we know about Perfectly Normal?
Perfectly Normal is a very long letter of completion. I wrote the book in 4 months because it summarized everything about me up until I became a coach. And so in the book, I talk a lot about my negative experience living with disability. But towards the end, I was coming to the point where I realized that I can be bigger. There's something bigger than myself that is possible, that's waiting for me out there. So, and which is why I decided that I want to be visible, I want to be vulnerable, and I want to be seen, I want to be heard. And that's the book that pretty much summarized my entire life of how I was struggling in that invisible space and playing small in my life. And the reason why I published this book is not because I want to be like the Amazon bestseller. That was not my intention. My intention with this book is I want it to be a book where someone goes to the bookshelf or go into an online Amazon, and they're able to purchase it, and they're going to read it. They're going to feel inspired and want to take action. I just need one person to do that, and that makes it a very successful book.
Well, Michelle, you have many, many people reaping the positivity of your words and your experience and your just your positivity. Thank you so much for your time today. What an absolute delight! I wish you so much success. I know you're going to continue to do great work. Tell us how we can get in touch with you, how we can reach out to you, how we can hire you to be a coach.
Yeah, people can find me on my website at elevatelifecoaching.org, or if they like, they can connect to me via Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Just look up Michelle Quay. It's going to come up.
Absolutely. And Quay is spelled K-U-E-I.
Correct.
Michelle, thank you so much for your time today. An absolute delight. I wish you success, and thank you so much for your time today. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
You be well. Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you for listening and or viewing Joey Pin's Discipline Conversations. Please share this episode with one or two of your friends who you think may benefit from the episode. Our website, www.joeypins.com. There you'll find lots of resources and you could join our mailing list. Please follow us on all our social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Podcast information, the video version of our podcast is on YouTube. Please subscribe. Audio is on all major podcasting platforms. Please follow them. And if you like it, please consider giving 5-star rating. Would really appreciate that. Would you like to financially support the podcast? You can go to our Patreon site. Consider $5, $10, or $20 a month. There's all kind of plans that we have there. There's like a one-time payment. What is this podcast episode worth to you? $25, $50, $100, $500, $1,000, $5,000. You be the judge. You can go to our PayPal account to do that as well. Thank you again for listening or watching Joey Pins Disciplined Conversations.